بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، we begin our lesson today seeking Allah's aid and success, asking Him to help us to learn His deen and to learn the way of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to give us success to believe in Him and to follow Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we begin our class with al-muraja'ah. And this is a very important subject and topic, al-muraja'ah, also known as al-mudhakara. Al-mudhakara wal-muraja'ah, it means review. And the knowledge, barakallahu fikum, it has to be reviewed. And the intent from our gatherings is not for the teacher to come and to sit and to give a lecture and then to walk away, and the people, they listen and pay attention and have good manners and take notes, and then after that they throw the book behind their back and they don't open it nor read it nor strive to understand the issues until the next class. But rather, every single class that we study together is like a brick in the foundation of our education. If we have a wall, if we're building a wall, how do we build a wall? We put one brick down and then another brick down next to it, and we make sure that they're straight, and we make sure that they're strong and close together. And then we put another one and another one. You understand that? And then what do? Then you put some more bricks on top of the first bricks in the same way. One close to the other, right on top, and make sure they're straight and level, not crooked. Whenever you put the bricks down, when you go to pick the bricks, do you pick the broken bricks? You pick the strong bricks and you put them on the bottom, the strong bricks and the strong bricks, and you do this level by level, and pretty soon you have a big wall. You have a big wall like this. What happens if you have like a big wall like as tall as your head, but somebody wasn't paying attention and like on the third or fourth row they put like three or four cracked bricks? They get the wall built, it's standing real strong, and it's looking real beautiful. They paint it, but in the middle of it, there's some cracked bricks and nobody is paying attention. What happens if the wind comes? Or some kids are playing and then he runs and falls into the wall. You think the wall's going to stand up?
No.
The wall might fall over. How come? Because some of the bricks are weak. Huh? Like this is our... it has broken bricks in the wall. So like this, similar is the way that we learn. And each class that we study together is like a brick that we're putting down in the foundation. So if we build one wall and another wall and another wall and another wall, pretty soon we're going to have a house. And then we're going to put a roof on. Huh? This is al-Islam. We're building our deen. Naam, buniya al-Islamu ala khamsin. Naam, the hadith is very well known. So we're going to build a foundation. So every single class is like a brick in the foundation of our learning. If we take the class and we have sincerity and ikhlas and we focus and try to understand, and then after that we review and then apply the knowledge, we'll have a strong foundation. We'll have a strong foundation. But if we just listen to the class and we pay attention for the class time, and then after that we don't think about the class anymore, this is not actually learning. This is just attending a class for like entertainment or something like this, or to pass the time. But this is not our goal. Our goal is to build our education and the deen in our hearts, in our understanding, and to know al-Islam properly and correctly. So therefore, every class, it has to be reviewed. It has to be studied and memorized and learned. In Islam, we memorize knowledge. Knowledge is memorized. It's not just read and then wrote down in books and forgotten. But rather, it's memorized. بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ. So the Quran and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is memorized in the hearts of men. How is it memorized? By studying and learning from the teachers, and then by reviewing the knowledge. Because of this, we have a beautiful statement from a great imam. We have a beautiful statement from a great imam. His name is Al-Imam Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah. Muhammad ibn Shihab Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, he died in the year 124, and he's from the first people to ever collect the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in book form. In book form. He said, Afatul ilmi, an-nisyanu wa tarku al-mudhakara. This is a very, very beneficial statement for a student of knowledge. The disease of knowledge, the calamity of knowledge. Afa is something that if it comes to somebody, it will wipe it out. If it comes, an afa comes to the crops, and the crops are growing and growing, and then a disease comes to the crops, it will eat it up and kill them all, and the crops will all be dead. Or if somebody is very strong, and then he gets an afa, and he becomes sick, may Allah give us all good health upon piety and obedience, and a long life upon righteousness. But if somebody becomes sick, then that sickness makes him weak, and makes him not strong, and not be able to move sometimes, or to act like he used to. So knowledge, likewise, it has an afa, something that makes it weak, and destroys it, and breaks it down. And that is forgetfulness. Forgetfulness, and leaving off the review. Leaving off reviewing, not reviewing. So we have to review the knowledge. So this should be done outside of the class. The review should be done outside of the class. After the class, or before the next class, or any other time outside of the class. And if you review the knowledge, you will find the barakah of ilm. If you review the knowledge in this manner, after class and before the next class, and from time to time in between classes, you will find the blessing of knowledge, and you will find how fast the knowledge grows. And you will find how quickly you learn, and how strong your understanding will become, insha'Allah. May Allah give you success. Reviewing is the way of a student of knowledge, the successful student. Many students, they learn, and even they sit with the scholars, and they have some type of benefit, but they're not proficient in the sciences of the deen. And they're not firm in the foundations of al-Islam. And they're not strong in their understanding and comprehension of the legislation and the rulings. But this is what we want to be. We want to be strong in these affairs. We want to understand our deen upon clarity and insight. We want to know our Lord, our Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala, with insight and clarity. And likewise, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, the deen of al-Islam. We want to know these things upon clarity and insight. And we want to be strong and firm upon that. Because if we are, we'll be the first to benefit. And likewise, after that, we will be able to help our other brothers and sisters likewise to benefit and to learn. So we have to review. So also from our methodology in these classes is that sometimes we will also review. We will also review. Some classes will be review. We'll try to review at the beginning of every class, sometimes briefly, and sometimes we'll review for a period of time. Or even sometimes maybe the whole class will be upon al-muraja'ah, according to the answers of the students and their ability to understand and comprehend the knowledge that was presented previously. With that being said, ma'mana sira. Biography. طيب ma'mana sira. That's tarjama. Sah. Sira, sira. As-sunnah, ahsanti. As-sira, hi as-sunnah, wa tariqa. Naam, it's the sunnah, a way, of a person. Naam, particularly the biography, the way of his life. But as-sira is the way of an individual, a way that he believes, and a way that he acts, and the way that he moves, and the likes like that. This is his way, and that's the sunnah. But The seerah also has a more encompassing meaning, meaning the life of a person, everything that happened in his life, the events that happened in a person's life. Naam, this is an excellent answer. An excellent answer. Who knows some books of seerah? Where can we find the seerah? What's the first place to learn about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The first place. Al-Qur'an. Give me who can give me an example of the mention of the something from the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Qur'an? In the Qur'an. Surah Al-Fil. Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. Who's going to get all the points? The little one. Allahumma barik. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. What? Where else can we find the seerah? Where else can we find the seerah? In the hadith. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For example, in Bukhari and Muslim. In the hadith, the books of hadith like Bukhari and Muslim. Naam? And other than that, okay, what else from the secondary types of works? Who are some of the scholars who have written about the surah, the seerah? Ibn Kathir. When did he die? No looking at the paper, no looking here. This is review. We try to review from our mind. If we don't figure it out, we'll remind you. Huh? 774. Who else wrote about the seerah? Ibn Qayyim, 751. Who else wrote about the seerah? Al-Dhahabi. Naam, 748. Who else wrote about the seerah? Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, 1206. They have all written books about the seerah. MashaAllah. Allahumma barik. What are some benefits from studying the seerah? What are some benefits that a Muslim will hope to obtain from studying the biography of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Why would we study the seerah? What are we hoping to get? What are some of the benefits that we're looking for?
So we can learn to love the Messenger.
So, ahsanta, Allahumma barik, so that we can learn to love. So the more that we know about him, the more we'll love him. The more we know about his life and the events that happened to him, then the more we'll love him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib, another benefit, if we love him, what will happen then? The more we love him, what will happen? The more? The more we'll follow him. The more we'll follow him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we follow him, what happens to our hearts? If our hearts love the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we follow him, what happens to our hearts?
It's gonna be strong.
What's gonna be strong in the heart?
Our iman.
Allahumma barik. Our iman is going to be strong in the heart. Why is that important? Why is it important for the iman to be strong? Is it important to have iman?
Yes.
Yes, very important. Do you know that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has many, many, many blessings. And He gives the people many, many good things. Who can name some of them?
Food,
hands, eyes, feet. Mom, dad, safety, security, money, brothers and sisters. Huh? What is the best thing that Allah gives the people? Al-Iman. Naam, Al-Iman. Al-Islam, Naam. Al-Iman. So then Al-Iman is the greatest blessing. And who can tell me why that's the greatest blessing? Or how? Shed some light on this issue for me, please. The greatest blessing.
So you can go to Jannah?
So you can go to Jannah. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, La yadkhulu al-jannata illa nafsun mu'mina. That no soul will enter paradise except for a believing soul, except for a soul with iman. So that means if the ones who do not have iman, when they die, ya then billah, they will never enter paradise. They will never enter paradise. Even the ones who have iman, whenever they die, but their iman is weak, they might even still enter the fire. But because they have iman, in the end, that Allah will eventually pardon them whenever He wills and enter them into the paradise. But the ones who have strong iman, if they have strong iman in their life and they die upon strong iman, then they go straight to paradise and they go straight to Jannah. And the people in Jannah, Allah, He guides them right to their homes, like they know exactly where to go. They're not lost and looking around. Where's my house? Where's my place? يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Allah will guide them right to their... When they get in Jannah, they know exactly where to go. They're not going to be mixed up. Oh wait, I thought that was my house. No, that's my house. Allah is going to guide them to their proper places in Jannah because of their iman. Because of their iman. So, also, who can tell me the greatest benefit of al-iman? The greatest benefit of al-iman. The greatest benefit of al-iman. Entering paradise is a great benefit. Is there something greater than entering paradise? To see Allah in paradise. Now the people of iman, then they will see Allah. The people of iman, they will see Allah. The messenger, he promised the believers, they will see Allah. And Allah, he mentioned that the people of Allah, of iman, they will see him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah to make us from them. So therefore, studying the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam increases our faith and our iman. And this is the way to enter paradise and to see Allah azza wa jal. And this is the way also to be close to the messenger in the hereafter, to believe in him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who can mention another benefit from studying the biography of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Another benefit that we hope to get. We want to study about the biography so that we can love him. We want to study about the biography so that we can follow him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We want to study the biography so that we can have strong iman and belief in him and belief in Allah in the last day. We want why else are we sitting here studying the Prophet's biography sallallahu alayhi wasallam? There was one good point in the end. The last point we discussed yesterday. What was that? What was that? Being happy. Happiness in this life and in the hereafter. There's no means to truly be happy and to be successful except by learning about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and following him. I have a good question. The review, it's a little bit shaky, it's okay. Alhamdulillah, la ba's alaykum, a'anukum Allah. But we need to be a little bit more quick to answer and to understand. If you know the answer, answer. If you don't know the answer, alhamdulillah, inshallah, we're here to learn. But these are affairs that we have studied. We should know them by now. We should know them by now. The knowledge should be fresh on our minds. What does it mean, the scholars, they have some books they wrote about the seerah, or some of the sources of the seerah, are books that are called Ash-Shama'il. What is that? What are those books about? The books that are called Ash-Shama'il, what are those books about? It's about seerah, but what are they about? We talked about... Somebody online says description. Ahsant. Allahumma barak. Allahumma barak. The description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His physical appearance. Sifatuhu al-khalqiyya. His physical appearance and description. And also, sifatuhu al-khuluqiyya. And also his manners. So in the books of Shama'il, if we want to learn, like, what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam look like? What kind of clothes did he wear? How was his hair? How did he walk? What did he eat? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did he stand in the night prayer? We want to learn some descriptions about him physically and how he acted and how he moved. And also we want to learn about his manners in a bit of detail. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is one of those good sources. And from here also, we learn about his biography, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Kutub al-Shama'il. Who has one of the most famous books of Shama'il? Huh? Not Ibn. He's not known from Ibn, this one. Huh? Aywa Ahsant al-Tirmidhi. Allahumma barik. Kareem. Our student, Kareem, he's answering the questions. Very good. Allahumma barik. Huh? What is it? Al-Tirmidhi. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Allahumma barik. Ahsantum. Al-Tirmidhi. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi has a very famous book called Al-Shama'il. Naam, Al-Shama'il al-Nabawiyyah. The prophetic characteristics and attributes and manners of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib, alhamdulillah, the review is good. Now, we discuss that which is related to, beginning with the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we want to make this as easy as possible for the students to follow along. And in our classes, studying the seerah, we want to make a timeline. We want to make a timeline for ourselves, and we want to learn it and memorize it. And we're going to make a general outline of the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we want to fill it in. We want to make a general outline of the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like a general timeline of the major events that occurred in his life, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then from inside those major events, fill it in with details. Details like this. So we want to begin this timeline. How do we make a timeline? We make a long line, and on the right side there's a point. That's where we begin. We begin on the right side, and we go to the left. Naam, because we write Arabic. I guess if nobody can write Arabic, maybe do it way that's easy. I'm going from right to left. We write Arabic. Naam, al-Arabiya, huh? Min dinina. The Arabic language is from our deen. So it's not something that we joke with or play with or we don't care about. Rather, it's something we have great concern for. And one of the greatest blessings, after al-Islam, with Iman, and after guidance to the Sunnah, is that a person will learn the Arabic language and understand the words of Allah Azza wa Jal and understand the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without a translator. We want to learn our deen directly without translators, without translation. If anything, we want to be translators for others who need that, but we don't want to rely upon translations. Naam. In any case, we see, We start on the beginning. We have one point, and then after that we have another point at the end of the line. Okay? What's on the first point? If we're going to talk about the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what's birth. His birth. Tayyib. Just before the first point, we want to also talk about the situation of the Arab and mankind before the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just briefly. So the first point we have will be about the situation of the Arab and the people of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mankind in general before the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever he was, what were the people upon while he was a child? Whenever he was born, before he was born, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what were some of the affairs? What were they upon? What did they used to do? How did they live? What did they worship? What deen were they upon? Did they know about Allah? Like this. This is important. Naam? And then, so our first point, of course, with regards to his life is what? The birth. But before that, we have, the birth, yani mawliduhu. Al-mawlid. Or al-wilada. And mawlid, yani the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawliduhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. And then, this period goes all the way to, so we have al-mawlid. That's the first one. But in reality, we're going to talk a little bit before that. Tayyib. Then that's going to go a little ways about, like if we have a line, we want it to go about a quarter of the line. And then after that, we want to have al-mab'ath. 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 Naam, yani whenever he was sent. Or we can write al-nubuwa. Naam, whenever he became a prophet. Al-mab'ath is whenever he was sent as a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After al-mab'ath, we want to make about the same size line. This will bring us to about a little over halfway, approximately. And then what do we have here on this point? Al-hijratu. Al-hijratu. Naam, ila al-Madina. Al-maqsood, al-hijratu ila al-Madina. Naam, because there's more than one hijra. We're going to fill those in, and those will be from our detailed lines, our detailed points, inshallah. So after the hijrah, the next point will be wafatuhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we begin with the mawlid, and then we're going to go to where? From the mawlid, from his birth, we're going to talk about the events that occurred in his life all the way until he became a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after that, we're going to talk about the events of his life, his seerah, al-sharifa, al-kareema, al-azeema, al-zakiyya, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time he became a prophet all the way until he made hijrah to al-Madina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happened? What happened in Mecca? What happened in Mecca? And then after Hijrah, all the way until the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So how many points do we have so far? 4 points. The first one, his birth. And
five.
This, the first one, his birth. Five?
Jahiliyyah birth.
Jahiliyyah, if you want to make that a point too, that's fine. That can be a point. It is a point on our scale. Any of the occurrences that happened before. So if we want to start there, that's fine. So al-jahiliyyah, yani the situation of the Arabs and mankind, before he was born, yani before the coming of the Prophet, and we want to talk about that, and then his birth, and then after that, whenever he became a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then after that, whenever he made hijrah to al-Madinah. And then after that, whenever, until the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How long did he live? We want to review a little bit. I want to see what you know. What do you know about the surah, about the seerah?
63.
He lived 63 years. Taib. So when was that first point? What is the major event that happened on the first point? The major event that happened on the first point, and the point of his al-mawlid. The major event that happened on his birth, the year he was born.
Year of the elephant.
The year of the elephant. Al-Fil. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashab al-Fil. Damn. So that's it. Okay. Then we're going to go all the way from here, all the way till he was sent as a prophet. What happened in between here? What are some things that happened in between here?
His mother died.
His mother died. How was he born? And then his mother died, and then his grandfather took him under his care, and then he died, and then his uncle took him under his care, and then he made a trip to Sham with his uncle, and then he made a trip to Sham again with his for Khadija radiallahu anha. Then he got married to Khadija, and then he fixed the Kaaba, and the event with the Kaaba happened, and how he fixed and put the brick in the proper place. All of this we want to talk about here in this point. We'll add them in there little by little. After he became a prophet, what happened to him? He called the people silently, he called the people out loud. What happened to them? And who accepted Islam first, and all of this? We want to talk about that next. You understand? This is I'm just giving you a general outline. Right now we want to have this general outline down. And what I'm talking about now is just to clarify what will come in the future, inshallah, and the classes to come, how we will fill in this outline step by step. But we will mention detailed, inshallah, information about our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that occurred in between these events. Also, one of the major affairs that we want to talk about and that we want to learn is the lineage. The lineage of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to know him. We want to know him and know the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who knows something about the nasib? Nesib and Nabawi. Who knows something about that? The prophetic lineage. Who knows anything about the prophetic lineage? Who are some of his fathers or grandfathers? Who are the most important people in his lineage, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Who are some of the most important people in his lineage, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Abu Abdullah, Ibrahim, Ahsant, Ismail, Allahumma barik. Ibrahim and Ismail, the most important people in his lineage, beginning with his father and then his grandfather and then his great grandfather and then all the way down to Ismail and Ibrahim. And then from them all the way down to Adnan. And then from him all the way down to Adam alayhi salam. We understand? So these are some of the most important people in the lineage of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to learn something about this. We want to know something about him and about his lineage, and that he comes from the lineage of Ibrahim, and he is the prophet, and he's the messenger, and he's from the lineage of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, like the rest of the prophets and messengers. All of the prophets and messengers that came after Ibrahim, they all come from his lineage, alayhi salatu wasalam. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Somebody tell me something about the lineage. What do you memorize about lineage of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Muhammad ibn
Hashim al Quraysh, Quraysh al Arab, al Arab min duriyat Ismail ibn Ibrahim, Khalil alayhi wa ala nabiyyi
wa ta'ala. That's the minimum information we have to learn. That's the minimum information we have to learn, and this is what Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned. In al-asl al-thalith, min al-usul al-thalath. The third, if the students want to find what is obligatory for them to begin memorizing with regards to the lineage of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then look in al-usul al-thalath, the third principle, whenever Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentioned the lineage of the Prophet. Wahuwa Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muqtalib ibn Hashim, wa Hashimun min Quraysh, wa Quraishun min al-Arab. والعرب من ذرية إسماعيل ابن إبراهيم الخليل عليهما وعلى نبينا أفضل الصلاة وأفضل الصلاة والسلام. This is the minimum requirement that we have to learn, and we're going to learn something about that. But I have another opportunity for the students who have strong desire to learn more about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is to learn his lineage all the way back to Adnan. All the way back to Adnan. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abdul Manaf ibn Qusay ibn Kilab ibn Murra ibn Ka'b ibn Lu'ay ibn Ghalib ibn Fihr ibn Malik ibn Nadr ibn Kinan ibn Khuzaima ibn Mudrika ibn Ilyas ibn Mudar ibn Nizar ibn Ma'ad ibn Adnan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the long nasib that the scholars of lineage have agreed upon that's correct from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Adnan. And they have all agreed also that Adnan, he goes all the way back to Ismail. And Ismail is the son of Ibrahim, and Ibrahim goes all the way back to Adam. And this manner is the authentic nasib of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whoever wants to memorize the short one, this is what is required. This is what is expected from the student in the class. And what you are encouraged is to learn the whole lineage. For those who are able to, we have students that are 16 in this class. We have students that are 7 in this class. So not everybody is expected to be able to do the same thing. But the classes are directed to everybody. So sometimes there is speech that's directed specifically to a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old. And sometimes there is speech that's directed to a 16-year-old, and then the majority of the speech is in between that. Tayyib. There was one more thing I wanted to mention that was very important. Wallahu al-musta'an. La ilaha illallah. It was about advice. Advice for the parents and for the class. Long stand. Tayyib, if we remember, inshallah, we'll... I remember now. Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. Wathkur rabbaka idha nasita wa qul asa. يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا. طيب, for the students who attend online, we have the classes open, and you're welcome to attend, and we are honored to have you attend with us, but we try to start immediately. And I know that sometimes some people can't start immediately, even sometimes maybe we may not be able to also, but we try to start immediately. We try to start at 1 o'clock, no later than 1:05. Inshallah, this is what we have intended. So whoever is coming in the class at that time, I see that on my screen, I let them in. Anybody who comes in the class, I'll let them in, inshallah. Anybody who comes in the class, I'll let them in, inshallah. But sometimes maybe it will come, somebody will come into the waiting room and I won't see them. Or if I'm talking or we're discussing an issue, maybe I'm not paying attention, or I forget about looking at the Zoom, the screen on the iPad. So if this happens, please don't blame me. And don't think that we didn't want to let you in. So anybody who comes, we're going to let you in, inshallah. But if you come late, like especially if it's much later, I don't look at the screen the whole time. Rather, we focus on a class. So if I see you come late, I'll let you in. So the point is that try to come early on time. And if you come late, it's not a problem either. And I know that people, sometimes in homeschool, things happen. But if for some reason you don't get to get in the class, and it's not because somebody didn't let you in, because maybe we didn't realize or recognize there's somebody in the waiting room, and we ask for you to be patient with us and to pardon us for our shortcomings. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.